There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin', rippin'.
All right, all right. Welcome to another episode of the Member Guest Podcast. It's been a while since we've kind of been in the garage studio here together, Jordan and I. Excited to see you, man, and be recording tonight.
How are you?
Good. Yeah, good. Started a new job, so that's been taking up
the time. Audience that I don't know if anyone listened or not.
Oh, okay.
We had like 6 listens on our last pod.
Really?
No, I'm joking. But I did tell people that.
Yeah. So we're, obviously kind of in the heat of winter right now, or I should say the cold of winter. So we're going to be ramping things up here a lot. Jordan's got a bunch of episodes he's doing this week. So excited for those. And yeah, we'll keep it going. I know as we get into golf season, momentum will kind of come back in full circle, and we'll have plenty of juice to get a bunch of new episodes and content out for our listeners. For tonight's episode, really just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about kind of learnings from 2023 and then goals going into 2024 as it relates to our golf games. I think, yeah.
This last year, too.
We did it last year.
We did horrible at following up.
Yeah, we didn't do a great job at following up. I think one of the things that'll be cool is like learnings from last year. You know, what did we learn about our games? What went well? So maybe we'll start there. Anything kind of as you reflect on last year that you think about is like a takeaway for you?
Yeah, my biggest one, and it kind of started and stemmed from when we had Scott Fawcett on in the decade, was managing expectations. Mm. And I've started to appreciate the game and my game more as I watch the professionals play. And where it mostly comes into play is chipping and putting. And understanding like make percentages around and on the green, like what a pro makes from 3 feet, 6 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And like starting to actually realize that you're not, even with a wedge in your hand, you're not going to hit it to 15 feet every time. Yeah. Like the expectation shouldn't be hitting it to 6 feet and then always making the 6 footer, right? Like you have a very small chance of hitting it to 6 feet and you actually don't have as good a chance as you may think of making a 6 footer. It's not as easy as you would think. So I think just managing expectations and what I'm actually capable of at my level. And I think people should be a lot more aware of that in their games as well. And just go take a look at like PGA Tour average stuff. Those are the best players in the world. And then look at you, right? Yeah. And be able to manage kind of your expectations around what you're actually capable of doing. It helps.
You know, it's funny that you say that. And I think we can and have had like full episodes dedicated to this, but I had my buddy Danny on last week and he was talking about how it's challenging to how do you balance knowing what a good or an average shot is with like still trying to hit a really good shot, if that makes sense. Like, 'cause at a certain point, I don't know, it's hard to describe. Like, I found it with putting. The putting is the best example, right? I have a 10 footer and I'm like, I know my make percentage on this is like, or an 8 footer. I know my make percentage of this is like less than half, right? And I'm like, so, you know, over the ball. And I'm like, yeah, it may or may not go in. Like, you know what I mean? Versus yeah. Like, I want to kind of like believe I'm going to make everything, even though it's more about like accepting the outcome than it is like, before a shot, I guess, is kind of one thing.
Yeah, that, it's kind of you're kind of in the mode of, all right, I have an 8 footer or 10 footer, whatever it is, and it's a 50-50 shot, right? Like all I can do is hit a good putt, and hitting a good putt, it's going to go in half the time, right? Like you can control that, and if you're a good putter, you know, maybe it's a little bit more than that, but as long as you hit a good putt and just accept whatever the outcome is going to be, like I didn't understand that until probably about a year ago. And then now when I hear the tour pros talk, like Scottie Scheffler talks about that a lot. It's like, I'm okay with the outcome. He probably wouldn't say that about his putting right now because he's atrocious.
Yeah.
But in general, like he says that a lot, which is, I've accepted that I'm going to hit good shots and bad shots, and the outcome's going to be what the outcome is. And at the end of the day, like, see where I'm at.
Yeah. I love that. That's cool. Yeah, I think one for me is just more, and this kind of ties to, like, as I think about 2024, but just, you know, 2023 was kind of one of those years where, like, I put in a lot of work in the off season. And actually might be similar to yours. You know, I put a lot of work in the off season, really did a lot of technical work on my swing, like worked super hard. And then, you know, got into the year and was like kind of playing awesome, like in the beginning of the year. And I think I just let like the pressure of, the pressure of like score and the pressure of like trying to play really good, actually like affect me for the first time ever. Like I've never been someone who's really ever been affected by pressure. In fact, I usually like am much better when there's pressure, but it was a different kind of pressure. It's not like a in the moment, like I got to hit a good shot pressure. It's more like a longer term, like sustained.
Yeah. The total outcome of all, like, yeah, like almost the summer. Like, did I play well this summer?
Right.
Like, to my expectations? No, but you look back, probably still played pretty well.
Yeah, putting too much pressure on myself, like for no reason, basically. I mean, a lot of it was just like about McKenzie Cup team last year and just like, just stupid. And I look back on it and I'm like, man, like I really kind of grinded. I was like grinding too much. Yeah, I just kind of want to like take that as like a lesson, for going into this year and just try to play like a lot freer and easier.
Well, there's a difference between grinding and practicing, right? Cause like, obviously you still practice. So it's like is the off season more around, like, you feel like you have, like, I don't want to say your full swing, right? Cause it's always changing, but like you have your swing and your matchup and now you're kind of less grinding out, trying to get to a perfect swing and practicing like what you have and getting the most out of it. Is that the thought process?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's kind of two things there. So one thing is like on the pressure, just letting go of like the outcome way more and just not caring what I shoot.
Care.
And, much more of like a care, don't care attitude. Just like, but I do want to keep working. And I think the biggest thing for me is staying out of technical, and really trying to work more on, skill acquisition, which is something I've never really worked on, as weird as that sounds. So like, you know, I want to hook shots. I want to fade shots. I want to like produce things. I want to, you know, work on my divots, work on impact, you know, work on contact, work on hitting the ball high, work on hitting the ball low. Just things that are more like athletic, and less technical in nature is kind of going to be my focus this year.
I wish you could be on Wednesday with, Luke Benoit.
Okay.
Cause that's like one of his big things. Like, he breaks it down. I need to remember. And after this, we should take this note that I remember to ask him, but he breaks things down a little bit differently than like traditional practice work, I would say. And one of the things he talks about is like, once you get this right, then you have your technical skills. Mm-hmm. And he kind of breaks down like what the technical skills are. And it'd be interesting to hear you two go back and forth on like, you know, you have the swing that, you know, you want to play.
Yeah.
Right. Like, now what are the technical skills? How do you break those down? And what do you focus on for second, third, and
all that type of stuff? Yeah. I mean, I think like technique is cool. And I've gone so far down that rabbit hole and changed my swing. And, you know, and it's like at some point I've never worked on actual skills. Like, as weird as that sounds, like I get into a bunker, for example, and I'll work on my bunker technique. I don't work
being a high bunker shot, right, or the low
skill
bunker shot
of like hitting a bunker shot. And so, or I'll get on the putting green and I'll work on my stroke, you know, instead of the skill of lag putting or the skill of, you know, hooking putts or cutting putts or, you know, just having fun. And so, yeah, this year is going to be about like almost, I'm going to try to have no technical thoughts this year. Just be athletic, you know, be athletic, hit it hard. And then when I practice, just really work on skill development. So that, you know, it's kind of looked like, for example, I've been doing a lot of distance stuff with my wedges on my simulator at home, just working on like, okay, I'm going to hit a 68 yard shot. I'm going to hit a 75 yard shot. I'm going to hit an 85 yard shot. I'm hitting a bun.
Working on your wedge swing.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I think there'll be a lot of like a lot more ROI in that for me than technical. Cause I think I've kind of hit the point of like, I don't like my golf swing is good enough to play good golf. Like, I don't need to like do anything crazy with my golf swing. Like, sure, there might be some things that come up or habits, and maybe there'll be a period where I'm like working on my takeaway or whatever, but I'm just trying to stay only to like fundamentals there, setup, posture, alignment. Yeah.
You know, I think you haven't reached your full potential of what your swing can be, right?
Like, that's right.
Yeah. It's really funny to look back at my swing a year ago and like, I probably got close to the max I can get out of that,
you know,
over the
so
top
funny that
atrocious
you say that.
Swing.
Yeah. And you were shooting in the 60s and it's
but there's a point where you have to take a step back and go, okay, I've kind of reached my max. Like I can't swing like this anymore and be a +2.
You
right?
know, it's so funny, dude. I've never done that. I've never like maxed out my game at where it is. I'm always changing my game. And so I don't ever know like, okay, how good can I get? And it's just like, I feel like I'm in a technical spot where like I look at my swing camera, it's what I want to see for the most part. Like, sure, there's little things here or there, but I'm just going to like focus on getting good at golf.
Okay. Probably going to shoot in the 60s a couple times.
Who knows, man? And I care.
No.
You know, it's like, don't. I don't care. And that's, yeah. So kind of going into 2024, you know, for me, I think the big thing is just like caring a lot less and just not caring about the outcome.
I think for like listeners out there that are trying to get better at their game, people need to like understand that too. Like there's the technical and skills practice and there's the swing practice. Like if you have a really shitty swing, it's going to take you a solid year and a lot of work to just get your swing in a better place. And then once you're there, you have to have the conversation with yourself. And my friend Mike, who just moved in down the road, comes over once a week and he's in the spot that you are. He's like, I know what I am. I am a 85 to 90 golfer and I am okay with that, but I want to maximize that. And I'm like, okay, well, you should probably work on hitting more fairways, right, with your swing. So finding your miss, finding all those things, and like max out that potential. Yeah. Don't sit here with a bunch of training aids trying to fix your swing when you're going out and playing once every 2 weeks, right? Yeah. Like it's not worth it at that point either.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And I mean, it's something that took me a long time to learn. And like, I don't know that I've fully learned it yet, but just like, you got to kind of understand the DNA of like your game. And there's a lot of variables to like getting better and things you can work on and focus on. Right. So like if we talk maybe through those like domains, like definitely one of them is like kind of your mental game and like your approach. Another one would be like course management, you know, like, are you doing dumb shit on the course?
Decade. For anybody that wants to dive into course decade. Management or just dive into like those thought processes, and you don't have to do decade, but just go Google decade golf and just like watch a couple of videos or listen to our podcast on how he approaches course management. Yep. It'll change your perspective on the game more than it ever could any other way. Like it will change the way that you look at how you play golf.
Yeah. And then I think there's, you know, technical stuff, right? Which is like, yeah, I mean, you have to have a technically good enough golf swing to like, you know, it's like,
be capable,
like that's going
to
be like
to hit a ball.
I would say that's going to be like a ceiling limiter, right? You can have a high floor with a shitty golf swing, but like your ceiling is not going to get that high, if that's a good analogy.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? And then the last one is like, you know, skill development, skill acquisition. So like, yeah, working on not technical stuff, but chipping, putting, speed control, you know, shot shaping, hitting it high, hitting it low, like getting, you know, hitting, having really good contact, you know, flushing the center of the face and taking a divot and like stuff like that, right? Which is funny because like when kids start playing golf, that's all they do. Is they just like work on that stuff, right? And then at some
point, hard and
they become aware of, and then they make technical changes that brings their ceiling up higher. But I kind of skipped that whole part of golf. And so I'm really excited this year to just like really focus on that and not worry about technical thoughts and not really worry about my mental game. I feel fine about that. I just care a lot less, you know?
You're good. Shout out Danny.
Yeah.
Great episode.
And course strategy wise, like I feel like I'm in a pretty good place. I know how to get myself around the golf course. So I don't know. How about you, man? Like if you were to look at those four domains, like where do you think you're at?
I'm like, I'm in between the kind of, I guess, like fixing my swing and the technicals. Like I spent a lot of time last year on the technicals and like we talked about, like I kind of hit my ceiling.
So not technical, you mean like skill development, like just you spent a lot of time playing.
I spent a lot of time playing. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out like how to get the ball closer to the hole with like what I had.
Got it. Yeah. So technical, I would think of as like swing changes.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So you have tech, what are the
so
the
mental, course management, technical, and like skills.
Yeah. So I'm in between technical and skills. Like I feel really good about course management because I studied all the decade stuff last year. And generally speaking, I know where my clubs are going. I know my misses. I can look at a green and I can look at a pin and know like where the safe shot is, where the, you know, all that stuff. Mentally, you can, oh, I like me personally, I can always work on that. But generally speaking, like when I get out on the golf course, I'm very dialed in. I'm very into the game and my mind's not really elsewhere, for better or for worse, sometimes for worse.
Yeah.
But like now it's all about, you know, I spent a lot of time this winter on the technical side, like with my swing. I've posted some videos on like how I was really over the top and now it's a lot better, more shallow. And now I need to figure out and go back to a lot of the skill work that I did last year, but applying it with the new swing. Mm-hmm. Because now I've realized with a lot of the changes that I made, I hit the ball a little further. My dispersion's a little smaller and I can actually like start to do stuff that I just wasn't capable of before.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really fun, but I still have a little bit more ways to go than you do. I think to get to that skill work, I got to kind of get through that month of grinding of like, oh, this is my swing now.
Of course. It's funny. Cause I still don't have that. We can help each other out because like you're doing work that I'm really familiar with and I'm doing work that you've really done super well. And so, maybe let's go back and forth on that for a minute. So for me, like, what would you say, as I think about like working on my game, like what would you say I should like prioritize or work on?
Lag putting.
Okay.
For sure. I spent a lot of time lag putting last year and just going like not block practice, but just going and throwing random balls to holes and just trying to read it, go through the process and lag putt and get everything inside 3 feet. I started to realize golf was a lot more easy, like when you can just two putt every time. And eventually like the ball will find the hole, right? Like if you hit good putts. And it's all about speed and lag putting. That really changed my perspective. Chipping, I spend a lot of time chipping and I'm still bad at it, but finding like a go-to chip shot that you're just comfortable with 70, 80% of the time, right? Like you shouldn't have to step up to a ball and be like, oh, should I hit this, 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 or this? It's 80% of the time I can hit this chip shot and I know I can get myself inside 10 feet and get myself a look. Like you should have that shot in your bag to be able to go and find it and just repeat it and get really comfortable with. And those two things shave off so many strokes.
Yeah.
Like it is unbelievable. You'll save 3 strokes like immediately if you can lag putt and if you have a chip that you can go to every single time.
Yeah, that's great. I'll definitely do those things. The other thing I was going to do is just distance control with my wedges, just you know, getting those distances dialed in from 120 yards in. And
yeah, it's interesting too, like going on the range and so Jack Hillen is the one who told me this. He's like, I'll go on the range and if I hit like 5 balls and I stripe all of them, I'll stop and I will just go chip and putt because my swing is my swing. And if I'm hitting it good that day, or like, I know I'm hitting it good right away. Like I don't need to go hit more balls, you know, like I don't need to hit 7 4-irons and watch all 7 of them go where I want. Like if I hit it good, I'm done. And I just go and do something else and practice on something else because
yeah that's going to totally be my approach this year as well.
Yeah. Like if you go and you start striping it, you're like, I don't need to hit anymore. Mm-hmm. Like let's just go practice chipping and putting because those are the clubs that I use the most in my bag anyways.
Yeah. Well, so what I would say to you too, coming from like someone who's made a lot of technical changes is I think there's like a couple of, there's a couple of like iterations that you have to go through with like your swing. Right. And so, I think I kind of know where you are, right? Which is like the first part of like changing, making technical changes is like always going really slow and like getting the feel for the movement and putting in a lot of reps and kind of rewiring, you know, your circuits. And then you start to ramp up like the speed. And then you get it like, you know, inside or on the practice range where like it's pretty consistent. And that's kind of like where you are now, right?
For sure. Where
I think like even coming in here tonight, like Jordan hit like 5 or 6 straight 5 irons that were like perfect. So what's interesting is when you go to the golf course and when you start playing on the golf course, right? Like, you know, only some of that will carry over and you'll by default start going back to like your habits. And then what's really interesting is then when you get into competition, which is like the third thing, right? It all like
goes away.
So, what I would say is like, it's just going to be a process and you just have to stay like really committed, really diligent to like what your changes are. Don't let yourself start cheating it. And like, you know, you got to get your swing on video a bunch. You got to check it a bunch. You want to like every month, probably like, you know, have somebody like look at it or, you know, make sure you're looking at it and just like staying on top of it. Cause that's what I found for me is like, by the time June and July hits and I'm playing a lot and like I'm starting to play in competition and my old stuff is starting to come out, like sometimes I'll just say like, I'm going to send it, screw it.
Well, it's interesting too that you said this earlier in the pod is that you played really well in the beginning of the year, right? It's because like all the stuff that you practice and probably change, like it was fresh in your mind. And then like you said, you get into money games, you get into competitions.
It just starts to break down like really fast. And so, yeah, that's just been my experience. Like it absolutely does. And so you just have to like really be diligent about it. And if you're really diligent about it, like you can definitely stay with it. For me, like it definitely broke down and then it came kind of back around after a little bit. But that was like a really tough period to go through. And it was because I kind of let myself slide a little bit on the changes I was making. So,
and it's probably just a good thing for people to take into consideration, like with their practice, their off season, the way that they played too. Like you really need to separate. Siegel said this to me on the practice screen because I asked him like, what do you do when you're practicing? And then what do you do when you're playing? He's like, literally when I go play, I don't think about any practice stuff. Like I just swing. And either the practice like translates or it doesn't. But where I get in trouble is when I start to try and make like mid-round adjustments or swing thoughts or whatever. He's like, you literally have to practice, draw a line, and then just go play. And whatever you have that day, you have that.
Yeah. I mean, I think like certainly if you're a professional golfer and you're like, you know, you got to shoot good scores. I think if you're trying to make technical changes, you also, I think you do have to bring it on the golf course a little bit. And this is just my experience. I think you have to bring it on the golf course a little bit. And I think you have to be okay with playing bad golf. You know, there's going to be like rounds that are shitty and bad, but you have to stay like committed to the changes. And, like it's like, People don't appreciate how hard it is to like make changes. And, you know, like Ben is a great example. Like Ben doesn't like fundamentally need to change a lot in his golf swing. So, there's little things here or there, but like for the most part, he can go out and play and just play and not think about anything because he's unbelievable at golf.
And shout out Ben making his first PGA Tour
start. Yep. Yeah. Our first, member guest podcast, semi-sponsored athlete. We don't sponsor Ben, but we do in spirit emotionally.
Give him a patch or something.
he texted me and said, let me get a shirt. So yeah, anyway, I guess what I'm just saying is like, you know, just be patient with it and stay with it and make sure you like, you know, don't get drawn into the like lure of score for a little bit. Just let yourself,
and to see what you can max out, man.
Like, yeah. I don't know
how much work you put in your technical, when you put that to skill work, I think it's going to be, especially for like, you can get really crafty around the greens. Yeah. Like once you start to figure out how to get the ball close and like you start getting all these shots that you're clearly capable of.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be dangerous. So that it is a good, so to like the actual reason for the podcast is what are our goals for the year?
Yes.
Pick, let's say, you know, three, right? Like we're going to have a lot, but like, what are kind of three main goals that you're going to look back, you know, last day at the farm, you go sit down, have a Diet Coke with the boys. You're like, all right, season's complete. Like, did I meet my goals or not? Like, yeah. What are the three things?
So number one for me is just care less. Care less about the outcome.
How do you, how do you measure that?
I would just say like, I don't want to talk about score or think about score. If you hear me tell you what I shot, I'm not doing a good job.
Just say, okay.
Yeah. So that's like the big thing for me. Number two is just commit to working on skills, acquiring skills. And then, yeah, like, I mean, I think those are probably like the two biggest ones. Work on skills, care less, and maybe if I had a third one in there, for this year, it would just be to, walk more last year.
Are you going to get one of the electric carts?
I'm thinking about
it. Dude, you have to join. You have to join the crew. Join the like gang. Me, John Lewis, Ert, like.
Yeah.
You got to join.
Yeah.
Dylan.
Yeah, it's an interesting gang.
It is.
Yeah.
We're an odd crew.
This is kind of an odd crew. I don't know if I want to be a part of that.
So here, aside from the crew and the people in it, the walking aspect of like not. I think everybody agrees having a caddy carrying your bag and just walking solo is the best way to enjoy golf.
Agree. Yeah.
I will tell you the second best thing is having an electric caddy.
Yeah.
They don't tell you anything, right? But like, you don't have to carry your bag. Right. It just walks alongside you. You get to enjoy the course. Like, yeah. It sucks when it's, you know, a little wet or something. So maybe save it for only good days as a start. But yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, like, it's one of the best things I've ever purchased.
All right, you're up. What would you say your goals are?
Goals for the year. This is the same goal I had last year. I'm actually doing it this year. I'm not changing anything in my bag. From a driver,
and
driver and irons.
Okay.
Driver and irons.
You didn't do that last year though.
I didn't do that last year. No. And I'm going to
how many
do it this
times
year.
Did you change last year?
Enough.
How many? Like, would you guess?
Four.
I think it was more.
No, it was four.
You
Tony did
your
this
whole
too.
Bag four times.
Yeah. And I consider that irons wedges. Okay. Cause I mean like the putter, you know, you're going to roll what's hot.
Yeah. The driver, putter's fine.
Yeah. I'm going to say like irons wedges. I changed four times and I need to like, part of me is like a lot of my friends that have played with me for a long time will tell you, I've always been like, not anti ping, but like I played ping for a long time and I went to find something better. And I'm just a ping guy. I just hit ping the best.
The spiel though about every major manufacturer.
Yeah.
I'm just a Titleist guy. I'm just a Mizuno guy.
No,
I'm just a Mira guy.
Yeah. No, I get it. But I've played of my entire golf career. I've hit the most ping and I think I'm just going to stick with it and see what I'm capable of. So okay. That's one.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you accountable to that.
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
And I will hold you accountable. I've built
to carry
less.
So if you can get a new set of irons.
No.
But you can, but you have to give me, without selling them, you have to give me whatever is in your current bag. So if you want to get out of those blueprints, you can do it, but you have to give me the blueprints.
And they if become you tell me irons. What you shot one day, you have to give me $5.
That's fine. $5 a time. And then, we'll set a date on this because I don't want to drag you out all year. Like by when?
When's our club championship?
That's
like
I
if I'm
it's in August.
Stuff, yeah. So let's say August.
Then, you know, so like end of year. September 1st.
September 1.
Okay. Fair. So you have between now and September 1st and you can change irons, but you've got to give me the $1,000 set that you're changing out of.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fair. You like the blueprints, didn't
I
you?
I do. I like them a lot.
Yeah, you did.
I'll take them.
So that's
that's pretty good. That's fair.
Yeah, that is fair.
Yeah.
And it's a way to hold myself accountable.
Yeah. So you can't trade them in.
Yep.
So now you know if you're going to go get new irons, it's going to cost you double, basically. Yep.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, actually triple because I already had
two sets.
God, I hate myself.
Oh, man.
So that's one. The second is I am really going to work on my chipping. It's the worst part of my game by far. Whenever I look at like decade and everything, my chipping's bad. So I'm going to take some like just specific chipping lessons with Luke. I'm going to focus a lot on chipping. I need to. And then the third, just kind of like as a personal goal, last year I had play in like a competitive round and I did the mid-am. My goal is going to be to make the Mac Cup team again because it's a hard thing to do. Last year it wasn't even on my radar, and now this year, like, I don't want to put pressure on it, but I think it's a good way to measure like, am I playing good enough to my expectations and all those things. So those are my three goals.
It's great. Well, I think we got a good plan going into next year. And if you're listening to this podcast and you do goals or you have them, would love to hear what yours are. Just maybe throw a comment in our Instagram posts or one of
something.
Our reels.
I know our listeners are out there trying to get better. I've seen a couple people like on Luke Benoit's video and they're like taking lessons. So yep. I know people are listening and nice. I know it's out there.
Cool.
People are listening.
Good stuff. Well, got a lot of content coming your all's way. And as always, thanks for listening.
Good to be back in studio, brother.
It is, man. See you
next time.